You're listening to The Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham. Nanette Kaplan-Solomon is here and John McCarthy with the upcoming Tuesday Musical Club get-together. It's the 12th of March.
Correct.
And it is Hummel Along, Johann Nepomuk Hummel. Having just heard you playing Hummel in the studio, it's just delicious. It sounds absolutely great.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Where did the idea of doing a Hummel program come from?
It came from John.
Yes, I've been enamored with Hummel for 40 years. So I first became acquainted with him as a high school student. I would go over to Carnegie Library down the road, and they had the old LPs, and you could take them out. And I took out the Haydn Piano Concerto because I wanted to hear that. And on the back side was Hummel Piano Concerto No. 3 in B minor. And I'm like, wow, what a fantastic composer. I love the Haydn also.
Yeah.
It's a shame we don't hear more of his music. Any idea why? Every time he's on the radio, I always think this is delightful.
He might be overshadowed. And I can tell you, the notes Nanette has to play is unbelievable. It's like a concerto, a sonata, everything into one. She never gets to stop playing. It's totally virtuosic piano writing.
Yeah. Well, when John had the idea, when John proposed the idea for a Hummel program, he definitely wanted to do the viola sonata and possibly another viola work by Hummel. But as soon as he said Hummel, years ago, and I don't remember whether it was in graduate school or as an undergrad, I heard a concert and a friend of mine was playing the Hummel septet. And I heard that, and it's been like maybe 40 or something years that I heard it. And as soon as he said that, I said, we have to program this work. And it's a bizarre instrumentation. It's for piano, flute, oboe, viola, no violin, cello, French horn, and double bass.
Who is going to perform it?
Terry Denman, who is flutist and a violinist, and she's the office manager of Tuesday Musical Club. She'll be playing flute. Rize Kostilnik will be playing oboe. Barbara Folb will be playing French horn. John is playing viola. Robin Trebig, cello. And Justin Bendel will be playing bass.
This is an all-star ensemble. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. We should have said right at the outset that the concert will take place at 1 o'clock at Levy Hall, Rhoda Shalom Temple, which is your usual venue right across the street from WQED, and the concert will be free, and it will also be streamed?
I believe so.
Yes, it'll be streamed and then archived.
Wonderful. So we'll look forward to having it after the fact. Would you help me introduce the music that we're going to hear from you performing in the studio? Tell me about the piece and anything that listeners ought to know, the special features of what you're going to share.
Well, we played the Rondo movement, the third movement from the Viola Sonata Opus 5. And it's a cheerful, whimsical type piece, very virtuosic piano writing, almost a piano with viola obbligato.
Thank you.
That was the Rondo movement, third movement of the Viola Sonata, Opus 5, in E-flat major.
And the voice you're hearing is that of John McCarthy, who played the viola with Nanette Kaplan Solomon at our Gibson Capital Management Steinway in the studio just for you. This is an entirely Hummel program on March 12.
Yes, yes.
So we have the piece that you mentioned with the unusual instrumentation, the Viola Sonata, and what else?
That's it.
That's enough.
That's plenty.
That's it, because the septet is really, really long, and it really is like a piano concerto with six other instruments obbligato. You know, so when we were rehearsing, it was like, why are you guys even playing? but it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
It's further along. It was written in 1816, whereas the Viola Sonata is more classical, written in 1798.
Right, so you can really hear the...
You can certainly hear
the transition. Hummel was really kind of a bridge figure between the classical and romantic styles. And one of the reasons I think that he went out of fashion was because he continued writing sort of in a classical mode, you know, like Schubert and Beethoven, whereas, you know, towards the end of his life, people were starting to do more virtuosic thing, even more virtuosic and daring things like Liszt. So he kind of went out of fashion. But you can really hear that, you know, the sonata is almost Mozartian. You can, you know, really hear the influence of Mozart on that and Clementi. And then the septet is much more fiery, and you could hear more of Schubert and Beethoven and even little hints of Schumann. And Schumann was very enamored of Hummel and actually wanted to go and study piano with him, because Hummel was also a great piano teacher and came up with a whole method of piano playing, one of the first modern methods of playing.
John, you alluded to the Hummel problem that he happened to be alive when all these other giants were around. He studied with Haydn, he studied with Clementi, he studied with Salieri.
And he did.
Didn't Mozart take him under his wing?
Mozart took him as a child for 2 years to live with him yet and teach him in his home for free.
That's amazing.
And Hummel was a pallbearer in Beethoven's funeral, and there he met Schubert. Mm-hmm. And there are some echoes of the Trout Quintet in this septet.
Correct, yeah. We were playing it, and John and I both said, this feels like this feels like the Trout. And then I just read that Schubert actually used this a quintet arrangement of this particular piece, the septet, as a model for the Trout Quintet. So we were not off the mark.
We weren't.
Johann Nepomuk Hummel. So
and Hummel
great.
Also took Haydn's former job at Esterhazy for several years.
Court composer there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Now, John, I cannot believe that this is your first visit to 4802 Fifth Avenue. You went to school right across the street at Carnegie Mellon.
I did, yes.
And who did you study with there?
Eugene Phillips, who was a student of Nikolai Lipotnikov in composition, where Nanette did a whole program of his and did her doctoral thesis on this man.
Yep, and I played the second violin sonata of Lipotnikov with Eugene Phillips.
Yes, and I just discovered that at our last rehearsal. All these connections with her I didn't know.
Right.
But Gene was a violinist.
He played viola.
He played viola.
Also.
I see. I forgot about that. I loved Gene. I thought he was such a great guy. And not only an interesting composer, but a great member of the
orchestra. It was very wonderful to have a teacher who was also a composer, because they gave you insights all of the time. And composers, that's the main thing. We're just interpreting their genius. They're the ones.
Who else was around at CMU while you were there? Was Don Wilkins teaching organ at
that
time?
He was. I had some classes with Don Wilkins, like theory, counterpoint type classes. Wonderful organist, yes.
Had Leonardo Bellotta joined the faculty
yet? He was there. He's been there a long time. He was there my whole time, for sure.
Right across the street. Such great things go on. I hate that we missed you until now, at last. How long have you been playing in the Benedum orchestras? You've done the opera and the ballet.
Since it opened. Since its first season, yes.
And you do a lot of the Civic Light Opera shows, too?
Not recently. Maybe
but
years
done
past I've done
and
some,
And you did
yes.
some Chautauqua as well, right?
Well, one.
Uh-huh.
One.
And what else? PNME? What else have you done? You've taught a lot. Teaching is your thing.
Well, I taught in the public school. I started an orchestra program in the Trinity area public school, the suburbs of Washington, Pennsylvania, from scratch. And we played a variety of works down there. With the college choir, we did the Schubert Mass in G for strings. We did excerpts from Messiah. I had students play first movement of Grieg Piano Concerto, first movement of Haydn Piano Concerto, several Mozart concerti, Haydn Trumpet Concerto, first movement, some arias when we had some good singers in there.
Are you still in the pit for the opera and the ballet?
I still am. I have a La Traviata rehearsal at 3 o'clock.
Good for you. And you made it through the John Mauchery era. I always liked John's work.
I made it through, yes.
I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we love John. I know you did, too.
I knew him at Yale. He was conducting the Yale Symphony when I was there. Yep.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh.
And how about Charles Barker with the ballet orchestra?
Wonderful conductor. Wonderful gentleman. Yes.
I think that the work that you do in the pit is undervalued because it's top drawer. You work with great conductors and your soloists who turn up in prominent parts of ballet. I mean, a Tchaikovsky score, a big Tchaikovsky ballet has all kinds of things exposed and wonderful.
Yes.
So great. Indeed. And I got to get you back in the pit for the Nutcracker. We're going to keep talking until
we get
the Nutcracker going again. But I understand it's a big expense. I'm just so thrilled to have a chance to meet another viola lover. How did you choose the instrument? How did viola wind up in your hands?
Well, I started rather late as a junior in high school, and that's what they needed, and I at that point I know Mozart played the viola and this one played the viola, so that was fine with me.
And the sound of it,
yes,
I mean,
beautiful.
It's,
sound,
it's a deeper, richer, warmer, closer to the human voice.
It is.
So
yes.
You know our colleague Jennifer Gerhard. Who
I
else
do,
is playing
yes.
in the Benedum Orchestras these days?
Louise Farbman is playing. Rebecca Rothermel Kluwer is playing. That's the viola section.
Good. Well, I hope to hear Traviata. I'll try to get down and wave at you in the pit. Nanette, what else is new? You mentioned the Lopotnikov concert. That was the last time we talked with our Nancy Galbraith. How did it go?
Oh, it went really well. It went really well. I think Nancy was very, very pleased. And people told me that they, you know, were just so delighted to hear music that they didn't know about. And I was really excited to bring Lopotnikov back because there's another person who was, you know, kind of overlooked.
Sure. Did anybody have any surprising information for you about Lopotnikov? Was there any CMU connection or a memory or a family tie or a friend? You are the acknowledged Lopotnikov expert. Who knows more than you?
Not at the concert. I actually got, you know, I had put an announcement on Facebook, and I got a message from, let's see, somebody whose grandmother was Nikolai Lopotnikov's cousin.
Wow.
And so he's living in Finland. And, you know, Lopotnikov had spent time, his first wife had a family had an estate there. And they escaped to Finland during the Russian Revolution, because they were white Russians. And so they had to escape. So they went to Finland for a while. So I don't know if this is from his wife's side. He said he had information about writings that Nikolai Lopotnikov was doing in Finland in the 1930s. So he hasn't gotten back to me with the specifics yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
Let me know when you get
the
details.
Yeah, it's amazing what connections can... Some good things can happen on Facebook. So.
Yes, I agree. And John, do you have any Lopotnikov lore from your time at Carnegie Mellon University? It was through Gene that you heard about Lopotnikov.
Right.
Gene
and then
Phillips.
I've heard Nanette play quite a lot of him, you know, the last couple of years. And I'm enamored by it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I unfortunately never met Nikolai, and it was before I was able to get there. But I did, as we discussed, have a chance to meet his wife, which is wonderful, too, Sarah Henderson. Hey.
Yeah.
Anything
else? The concert was great. It was well attended.
Glad to hear it.
And
that's good.
You know, I can send you the link if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, so. I must. I'd love to hear it. And anything else we should say about the Tuesday Musical Club concert? Because I think it's extraordinary. Johann Nepomuk Hummel along. So great.
I think people will be absolutely stunned at the level of brilliance that this composer had and that we don't really know. I would say that the piece that people probably do know is the trumpet concerto. They do play, you know, people play that a lot.
Right. We heard George Vosburgh play it
at
Heinz Hall. But
I think they will be just so pleasantly surprised to hear such lush music.
Absolutely great.
I wasn't aware of the septet when we began the idea, and every time I hear it, I hear more things that I had missed, and I'm fall more in love with the piece. And anybody that comes to the concert should possibly go back and watch the recording of it that we make, because the more you hear it, you'll hear other things, and you'll appreciate the genius of this composer. It really grows. This septet really grows on you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And price is right. Free. Yes,
right.
It doesn't require a ticket up front. You can just show up or watch it on YouTube, which is wonderful. I'm so grateful to both of you for your service to music, for coming in and playing the Hummel for QED-FM listeners. And I want to wish you the best of luck with the event. John, at last we meet. It's
yes.
been much too long. It's crazy. And Annette, always a real treat to see you. So thanks
for
bringing John over.